You guys can grab a seat. How's everyone's summer going so far? Pretty good summer. It's almost like half done. It's like almost the end of July. It feels like summer goes by so fast. I remember when I was a kid, and the last like month of school, 2 months of school would go by so slow, and then it would get to July, and then by the time July is over, you're like, what? How is this? How does this happen? It goes by so fast. But I'm having a good summer. like Elise was saying, I spent the last week at Nanoose Bay, the teen camp there. We had a great week. If you've never heard of Nanoose Bay, it's in Nanaimo on the island. And we had a really great week. It's a sports teen camp, and so it's pretty exhausting, pretty tiring, but a really, really good week. And actually, on the Thursday night, every week, they have a baptismal service, and we actually had three students from our youth group get baptized, which was awesome. And really good week. And we got back yesterday and got some rest, and now we're ready to get back into the routine. We're going to continue on with our summer series, Psalms in the Summer. Last week, Elise talked about Psalm 51, and I'm looking at Psalm 46. So it's a little bit backwards in terms of the chapter progression, but that's okay. So I'm looking at Psalm 46. So I'm going to read that to you, and it should be on the screen as well. It says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It's a pretty well-known psalm, especially that last part, be still, know that I am God. Most of you, if you've been in church for a while, have probably heard that one before. It's just, the psalms are just awesome because they're just great literature in general. Like, there's so much truth in them, but they're just written so well. They're just, the literature is just so strong and so beautiful as well, too, that just makes the psalms really enjoyable to read. This particular psalm, the author isn't exactly known. There's some suggestions and that sort of thing, but it's not confirmed who wrote this. The timing as well is not confirmed as to who wrote this psalm. But what we do know is that it was written after a period of time where Jerusalem was going through something really, really bad, and then something happened that was really, really good. So Jerusalem was going through something that was really tough, like they didn't know how they were going to get through it, and then something really good happened for them, and then this psalm was written. It's also been called Luther's psalm. Martin Luther, because he, when he was going through tough times, he would recite this song to bring encouragement to himself. So this morning we're going to look at three different aspects that we can get from this psalm, three different thoughts, three different points in that passage that we can look at this morning. And those three things are the idea that God is very present. That when we feel like he's not, he is. He is very present. The second thing is that we should not fear. Easier said than done. And the last thing is that God is in our midst, and sometimes we need to be still. So firstly, the idea that God is very present. And so it starts off like that. It says he's our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Now, I'm going to be looking at how the Message says a few of these verses as well, because I like how they put it. And so the Message translation says, for that verse, says that God is ready to help when we need him. That God is ready to help when we need him. Now, the only catch with that is we actually have to recognize the fact that we do need him. Sometimes we don't recognize that. Sometimes we say, we think that we can handle it on our own. We don't recognize the fact that we need God. Too often in our society, we try to handle things on our own. Too often we don't want to show a sign of weakness. We don't admit that we need help. We don't let anyone know that we're struggling. We kind of just walk through it on our own because we think that we can handle it on our own. Too often that happens. I want you guys to think back to your first job. Think back to the first job that you did. For me, it was at a restaurant called Lick's in Ontario. It's like a burger and ice cream place. And I was like 13 at the time. I was really, really young. I don't even know how I was hired. I don't even know if I was old enough to like work in a restaurant. But I was hired. I was a 13-year-old kid. And I remember I was so nervous. To start work. I knew my boss. My boss was nice, but I knew him outside of work. And sometimes someone can be really nice outside of work, but in work, maybe not the nicest person. So I was really nervous about working. I was really young. I was really anxious about it. I didn't want to make a mistake, right? I didn't want to mess up. And I took my job very seriously. If you remember, it's funny, to your first job, a lot of times we take it very, very seriously. And so I took my job super serious. I remember I'd been working there for a few months, and my parents were planning a trip to go to Florida. I remember telling my dad, well, if I don't get my shift covered, I can't go to Florida, Dad. And I'm like 13. My dad's like, Christian, you're going to Florida. I'm like, no, Dad, you don't understand. Like, if I'm scheduled, they need me. Like, I'm a key part in the clog of this restaurant. Like, I am needed here, Dad. And my dad's like, no, Christian, like, I'm pretty sure they can manage without you. I'm like, I don't think so. I really don't think they can. Like, I'm scheduled to be here from 10 to 8. That's a long shift. And they, like, what are they gonna do without me? Like, I'm shredding lettuce. I'm shredding cheese. Like, what are they gonna do without me, Dad? And I took it very, very seriously. I think sometimes we do the same thing with our job. Our first jobs, they are important, but we take them so seriously, we forget that we're actually a teenager. And that was me. And I remember one time, my second week, so I was what's called a prep guy. So I would be in the back, and so I would I would shred the lettuce, and I would actually make the chili that we would have there, and I'd make some of the homemade burgers. It was kind of funny because, like, I'm a 13-year-old kid, and I'm, like, making all this food. Like, they trusted me with that, which was pretty cool. Another thing that I did was we would shred our own cheese. So we would get our cheese delivered to us, and it would be, like, in a massive block of cheese, and then we would have to cut that down to put into a shredder. Now, we wouldn't use a knife for the cheese because it would take forever, so we had this, like, a cheese wire. If you've ever been in a restaurant that gets big blocks of cheese, maybe you've seen it, but it was like basically a square device. You'd put the block on, you take the wire, and you'd pull it through, and it would cut it fairly easily, a lot easier than you could with a knife. So the first week I did it, I was shown how to use this machine. I did it, worked great, no issues. The second week I'm there, I'm on my own now. 1 week of training, I know, they trusted me a lot, and I'm 13. And so I have this cheese wire, and I pull it through, and I'm about 3/4 done, and it breaks. And immediately I'm like, I'm dead. Like, they're gonna fire me. Like, I'm done. I just broke this machine. I have no idea how much this machine costs, and I'm like so worried about it. Like, I'm like, you know that those times where you're worried about talking to someone, and so you walk by them and you tell yourself, okay, I'm gonna tell them. And you walk by and you're like, no, okay, no, next time. No, I wasn't ready. It wasn't the right moment. And that was me. Like, I was so scared to tell my boss. So I had this like inner conflict for about 10 minutes where I'm like, what should I do? He's going to be so mad. How do I deal with this? So eventually I just use a big knife as a 13-year-old kid, try to cut this block of cheese, and I finish it. But I realize that I have to tell him. I can't just like put it back and be like, I don't know what happened. The wire just broke. I don't know. So finally, I'm so nervous about it. I go to my boss, and it's my first job, right? You don't want to disappoint someone. You don't want to let them think that you can't handle it. So I finally go to my boss, and I say, Brent, I broke this cheese wire. Like, I'm so sorry. I don't know how I did it. Like, I'll pay for it. I'm terribly sorry. I didn't mean it. My boss looks at me and says, Christian, it's like a $100 machine that you just broke. And now, $100 is still a lot of money now, but when I was 13, I got started at my job making $6.40 an hour. And so I worked about 20 hours a week. So that was my entire paycheck, basically. So I'm thinking, like, I just worked for, like, all this hours, I'm not going to get anything to show for it but a new cheese wire machine for my restaurant. Like, and this sucks. And so I'm like, oh, no, that's okay. I'll pay for it. And I'm like, probably like stuttering. I'm so nervous. And my boss just starts laughing. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you laughing at me right now? I'm like traumatized. And he's like, no, it's totally fine. They break all the time. Here's another wire. It's no big deal. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. That's good. And I was so anxious, I was so worried, because I didn't want him to think that I couldn't handle it. I didn't want him to think that that I couldn't do it on my own. That I made a mistake my second week, my second shift, that I made this big mistake, and I was so nervous about it. Now, my boss was nice, which is a good thing. Maybe some of you, your first boss was really mean. Maybe you have some funny stories about that. My boss was nice, but I think sometimes we can view God in that way. I think sometimes we can view God as a sort of boss, where we're scared to disappoint him. We're scared that if we admit we can't handle it, that he's gonna look down on us, or he'll think, well, you should be able to handle this. I don't understand why you can't. I think sometimes we view God as a boss, and we view ourselves as his employees. But in the Bible, I don't see that. In the Bible, the analogy that I see is that God is a father, not a boss, and that we are his children, not his employees. Now, most times, if you're working hard and you go to your dad or your mom and you say, I made this mistake, they're not going to get mad at you and say, that's okay, don't worry about it. That's okay, we'll take care of it. A boss might get angry, but a father might not. So because God is not a boss, he's our father, we don't have to be shy or nervous or anxious about coming to him. Now, I think about if I spent like probably 3 hours worrying about that stupid cheese wire, like it's just eating at me. And if I just went to my boss right away and said, hey, this is what happened, he could have said, no problem, here you go, here's a new one. I wouldn't have had a big knife trying to cut this big block of cheese. And it would have been so much easier if I had just done that. And sometimes we do that same thing with God. We're so anxious, we're so worried, we're so maybe even doubtful or fearful, and we are almost scared to go to God with these things. Where if we just did it in the first place, it would work so much better. It would take so much anxiety off of us if we just went to him in the first place. Now, this verse that says that he's a very present help in times of trouble, it's definitely one of those verses that you read. When things are good, this is a great verse to read. When things are good in your life, you're like, yeah, God, you're my refuge. You're my strength. You're always there. You're so good. Thank you so much. But when things are going rough, when things are not good, it can be a little tougher to read this verse. It can be a little harder to accept this when it feels like nothing's going right, when it feels like there's a storm around you, there's waves everywhere, and you can read this verse, and it doesn't feel like it. You can think, God, you say that you're here, but I don't feel you. Where are you? God, you say that you're very present, but I feel like you've forgotten me. Like, how can all these things be happening to me, and you say that you're there with me? I don't feel you. And people can give you the cliches of, oh, just read your Bible, just pray. And you can think like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is so bad right now. I don't know what to do. But how we respond in those times can really define our faith. How we respond in those times of struggle can really define our faith. I would suggest that everyone's faith at some point will be tested. If your faith hasn't been tested yet, it will. There'll be times where you'll question God and say, God, why is this happening? I don't understand. And how we respond in those moments will define whether our faith grows or it shrivels. How we respond in those times of struggle will define if our faith grows stronger through that or it shrivels, because we have a choice to make. When we have those moments where we don't understand what God is doing or why these things are happening, we can decide to say, hey, God, you know what? I don't know what you're doing, and I'm going to just turn the other way. Or we can say, hey, God, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to go towards you, trust that your plan is good, that you have a purpose for this, and I'm going to go with that. We have a choice to make. I would suggest that we need to remember that what is true when things are good is still true when things are bad. When things are good for us, we can say, yes, God, like you're always with me, you're so good. And then when things get bad, that truth doesn't change. God is there in the midst of it always. He is our refuge, he is our strength, and he is a safe place to hide. That's another message translation, that God is a safe place to hide. Safe place to hide. In the midst of the storm, when it can feel like he is the furthest from us, he is very present. Very present. Ready when we need him. Sometimes we just have to admit that we actually need him. Now, I'm a guy, and a lot of times guys are a lot less inclined to admit when they need help. They're a lot less inclined to ask for things. So this can be tough for me, to be honest, to admit, hey, God, you know what? I need you. I can't handle this on my own. But we need to be able to do that. The second thing I want us to look at is that we should not fear. This is verse 2. It says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. This verse is in response to verse 1. So basically this verse is saying, because we have God, because God is our strength, because God is our very present help, we don't have to be afraid. The message says that we can stand fearless at the cliff edge of doom, courageous in the sea storm and earthquake. That's a pretty bold statement. We can stand at, like, imagine you're on a cliff and you can just, like, be standing there and there's wind all around you and there's waves, there's a bit of an earthquake, there's like a storm, and you're just like, I'm fine. I'm pretty confident right now. It's a pretty bold statement to make. And if I'm honest, I would say that I don't always maybe live by that statement. There's definitely times where I'm scared. There's definitely times where I doubt a little bit. There's definitely times where I question God, like, why are you doing this? There's definitely times where that happens to me. And I think that's natural. I don't think this verse is saying that if you fear at all, then you're doing something wrong. I don't think this verse is saying if you have any doubts whatsoever, then you're doing something wrong. I don't think that's what it's saying. I think that's natural. I think that's a natural part of life. I think this statement is less about the things that we go through and more about our God. I think this statement is less about the size of our storm and more about the size of our God. I think what this is saying is that because we have this God who is so strong, who is always with us, who is ready to help when we need him, even though things that should make us afraid, things that we should maybe doubt about, we don't have to because we have this God who's with us every step of the way. Some of us have things that are going on in our life right now. We've had things in the past, or we're going to have things in the future, where if you didn't have any doubt or fear, people might even question that you're even human. There's certain things that people go through where I'm like, how can you not be a little bit scared about that? Like, in our life, there's things that we go through where it would be almost impossible to have no fear or nor doubt. But it's precisely those times where this promise needs to ring its truest. It's precisely those times where his promise needs to be just met by us. It's also the hardest to accept them. John 14, 27, which should also be on the screen there, says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as this world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Can you remember a time where maybe it was yourself or someone you know had every reason to just be like freaking out or be very worried or very panicked or anxious, and they just weren't? Sometimes for me, they can be a bit frustrating. I'm like, why are you not upset about this? Like, you should be upset. And they're like, no, I'm good. I'm fine. You ever had those moments? I remember one time, some of you heard this story before, but when I was first coming to BC, I'm from Ontario, and so we drove across Canada. And on one of the days, we had this great idea to drive through the night in Montana. And there's four guys in there in the van, and we have a U-Haul in the back, and I'm in the bucket of the van there, so it's a van, and so the front seat, the two buckets. I'm in the bucket, and the driver and the shotgun rider are talking. They're like, maybe we should just drive through the night. And I'm like, no, we shouldn't. Like, I'm really tired, we should sleep. And they're like, no, we should do it. We should drive through the night. And the driver goes to my friend and says, well, are you okay? He says, yeah, I'm fine. I'll stay up all night with you. The other guy beside me in the back seat says, yeah, I'm fine. I'd stay up all night. I'm like, no, guys, like, we should, like, it's like 2 a.m. We should sleep. Like, we're in no hurry. If we get to the school, it's not even open yet. They can't even let us in. Like, what are we rushing for? So they decide we're going to drive through the night. I say, you know what? Fine. I'm going to sleep. No exaggeration. Within 10 minutes, the person who said, I'll be up all night asleep in the front seat, totally snoring. The guy beside me says, I'm going to stay awake. He's asleep. So it's just me and the driver now. So I tell the driver, hey, like, we should probably stop. He says, no, I'm fine. I'm like, dude, I can't stay awake. Like, I just can't. We need to stop. And he says, no, we're fine. We'll keep going. So anyways, I fall asleep. And then we're all awakened to a big crash because we hit a deer. It's like 3 or 4 a.m. and we hit a deer in Big Timber, Montana. If you've never been to Big Timber, Montana, there's nothing there. It's big. It's, yeah. With a thing like Big Timber, there's just not much there. And we hit a deer, and so we're all like, oh no. And immediately I'm thinking, like, my first thought is like, I told you guys, like, I told you we should have stopped. But I know it's probably not a good moment to say that. So I'm like, oh, yeah, well, too bad we drove through the night. Yeah, okay. But I'm thinking, like, how are we going to get to school now? Like, it was a big deal. Like, this van is, like, crumpled in. We have a U-Haul in the back. Like, even if this van can drive, it's going to take a few days to get it fixed. Like, what are we going to do? We have to be at school if this van can't drive. And we just have a big U-Haul on the back of it. How are we going to, where are we going to go? And then I'm thinking, like, how am I going to get a hold of anyone? Because our phones are Canadian. We don't know any numbers. It's Big Timber, Montana. There's not, like, there's a big billboard sign saying who to call. So we're panicking. And I remember my friend, we're all kind of worried a bit. My friend doesn't look worried at all. He's the guy who said, I'll stay up all night and fell asleep. He says, like, we should just pray about it. You know, probably a good response for future Bible college students. Yeah, let's just pray about it. But in my head, I'm like, shut up. Don't you dare. Like, we just hit a deer. We don't know where we are. Pray about it. Like, what do you mean pray about it? Like, we should call someone. But the other two guys are like, yeah, we should pray about it. We should all take turns praying about it. And I don't want to be the, you know, the future Bible college student says, shut up, and we're not praying. We're going to do something else. So I'm like, yeah, let's pray about it. So we all take turns praying, and I even pray. But you know, maybe this is just me. Maybe you guys are better Christians than I am. But sometimes if I'm really frustrated and I decide to pray anyway, like in my head I'm thinking other stuff. I'm like, oh, this is stupid. We should be calling AAA. Like, why are we, like, no, what are we doing? But we pray, and my body's just not worried at all. And I'm like, this is your fault. Like, you told us to drive. Like, how are you not stressed out about this? And so eventually we finish praying, and again, no exaggeration. 2 minutes later, a cop car pulls up. He says, hey, you guys all right? And we're like, no. Does it look like we're doing pretty good? No, we're not doing all right. We hit a deer. He's like, oh, yeah, that happens. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we got a call, and it was a false alarm. And so we were just driving by, and I saw you guys and thought that we should stop off and see if you guys are all right. Wants to call your tow truck? I'm like, yeah, you can call us tow truck. In that moment, it was like God telling me, like, Christian, do you not think that I can organize things better than you can? Like, do you really think that you're better at organizing and fixing those kind of problems? You're better than I am? And I was kind of like, no, you're better than I am. I get it. And but that happens, right? There's certain times where things go on in our life, and we should be maybe worried. Maybe other people should be worried, but we just get this peace that doesn't make any sense. Maybe it's the peace that Philippians 4 talks about that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make any sense. Why are you calm right now? You should be freaking out. I'm freaking out. We hit a deer. We don't know where we're going. Oh, let's just pray about it. I think that happens sometimes. And this is why, because God is with us, we don't need to fear. We can fear, we do fear, but because God is with us, we don't need to fear. And this is a huge statement that I believe can be summed up by saying that the God we serve is bigger than the storms that we face in our life. And the promises that he makes to us are bigger than the problems that we face. Like I said, this is not saying that the things that we go through aren't serious. This is just saying that God is bigger. We don't have to fear because we have God with us. The third and last point is that God is in our midst. Sometimes we just need to be still. This is verse 5 and 10 going together. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst. God is in the midst of her. And verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Our society is just so busy. We're so busy. It's to the point where if we aren't doing something like every minute, we feel like there's something wrong with us. It's like we could be out every night of the week, and then this one night we're at home like watching Netflix, and we're like, my life sucks. Everyone else is out doing all this kind of stuff, and I'm just at home. I think we've forgotten how to rest. We say yes to too many things. And for most of us, and this is me too, being still is just tough. Just sitting and being still would be tough. We aren't very patient. Our society is not very patient. We can get upset if we're in the drive-thru for more than 6 minutes. We're just not very patient, especially when there's uncertainty. I think of Christmas mornings as a kid, when it'd be like 3 a.m. and I wake up and it didn't matter if everyone else was still tired. I'm up. It's Christmas. It's technically the 25th of December, which means let's open presents. So I'd knock on my parents' door. It's 3 a.m. I'd be like, hey, let's open gifts. And they're like, it's 3 a.m. I'm like, it's Christmas. Let's open gifts. I want to know what I got. I'm not sure. I've been thinking about it all night. There's no way I can go back to sleep now. I'm too anxious about it. We're just not very patient. Eventually, my parents got smart, and they changed my clock. So they would go in when I would fall asleep, and they'd change it to be like 3 hours back. So I'd be waking up at what I thought was 3, and it'd be 6, and they'd be like, you don't even know. They outsmarted me. But when there's uncertainty, you want to know. We're not patient. It's hard to be still. The Message translation says that step out of the traffic. I love that. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. When we step out of the everyday routine and we give time to God, it's much easier to see the things that he's best us with. When we can maybe take a step back out of the situation that we're in right now, we can see so many of the things that God has given us. But a lot of times we get blinders. We get things on, we can only focus on that one thing that's bad, but we can't recognize all the things that are good. But when we step outside the situation and look from the outside, sometimes the situation doesn't look as bleak as we think it does. Now, guys, can I give you some advice? This is just for the guys. If your wife or your girlfriend or someone you want to be your girlfriend is venting frustrations for you or to you, that's not a good tactic to tell them to use in that moment, okay? I've learned that pretty quickly, that sometimes Elise would be telling me things about that are just frustrating her, and I say, well, in the grand scheme of things, is it that big of a deal? Don't do that. It's not good. It's not a good thing to use. Just nod and say, yeah, that's tough. Yeah, when in doubt, nod. That sucks. That sucks. Yeah, how dare they? Or how, yeah, whatever, just nod. But don't say that. Don't say that in those moments. But when we do it ourselves, when we take our blinders off and we say, you know what, like, yeah, this situation is bad, but there's so many other things that we can be thankful for. There's so many other things that God has given us that if we compare them, it's night and day. These verses tell us that God is in our midst, that he is with us. We just need to be still. Now, most times, at least for me, that's the complete opposite of what I want to do. If something's going wrong, I want to try and fix it. I'm a guy. That's what we do, right? If someone's telling us a problem, all we're thinking about is, okay, yeah, I can fix that. I can fix that. So being still is the complete opposite. Because I think to myself, okay, if there's a problem and I'm just being still, how can I fix it? If I'm just sitting back and being still, how can I fix it? And I think the point of this is to remind ourselves that, hey, you're not God. God is God and we are not. He is in control and we are not. And when we sit back and we are being still, it reminds us that God is in control and that we're not. If we're always constantly trying to fix it on our own, we're replacing God with ourselves. We're thinking that we can handle it on our own when we weren't meant to. This idea of being still is so important because it just is a constant reminder, God's in control. God is God. I'm not God. I can't control that. I can't control that person. I can't control what this person said. I can't control what's happening at work all the time. But God is in control. And he won't drop the ball. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I think we forget that sometimes. I know I do. We're like, God, no, God, I can handle this. Like, you know what, God, I think I know better in this situation. Like, I know we just hit a deer, but let's not pray. Let's call AAA. That was rhymed. I didn't even mean to do that. Let's not pray. Let's call AAA. We forget that his thoughts are higher and better than ours, and we think that we can handle it maybe better than he can. We aren't always meant to understand why God does what he does. And that's hard to accept. It's hard to accept that we're not meant to understand why God does what he does. But someone once told me this, and I've never forgot it. I remember I was talking to them, and I was confused about why God was letting these things happen, or why would he let this happen? Like, I couldn't understand it. And they told me, Christian, If God is small enough that our human minds can understand everything that he does, then he's not big enough to deal with the problems that we face. I remember hearing that and being like, okay, yep, I can take that. If he's small enough that we can understand all his thoughts, all his ways, and he's not big enough to deal with the problems that we face. So through this psalm, I think there's three things that I want us to leave with, to be reminded of. And I say us because this is me too. I'm not up here in a sense of I've got this together, so you know, do what I do. This is for us to be reminded of. The first is this: God is very present. He's very present. He's ready to help when you need him. Don't be afraid to admit you need him. Don't be afraid or be too prideful to go and say, you know what, God, I need you right now. He's ready to help when we need him. Number two is we don't have to fear, not because what we face isn't serious, but because we serve an almighty God who won't forget us. We don't have to be afraid, not because what we're going through isn't real or tough, but because God is just bigger. And number three is that God is in our midst. Step out of the traffic. This is the biggest one for me. Step out of the traffic of life. Step out of the things that constantly, every day that we deal with. Step out of that, even just for a few minutes. And take some time to recognize the things that God's doing in your life. I remember for me, I don't even realize it sometimes. When I was graduating college, I was so focused on everything else going on in my life. I'm okay, I need to find a place to live. I need to find, you know, a job. I need to find all these different things. Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I was so stressed and worried about it. And then it just kind of all came into place. I didn't even realize it. And it wasn't until like a year later where I sat back and said, wow, like all these things happened. I didn't even realize it. Because I was so caught up in the traffic. I didn't notice everything else that was going on around me to make the plan that God had for me happen. I think we do that way too much. We're caught up in every day, and we forget what's going on outside. So those three things. God is very present. We don't have to fear. Step out of the traffic of life. Let me pray for you guys. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the truth that is in it. Thank you so much that we can constantly be in a stage where we can grow in you. God, I pray that we would be reminded that you're always with us, that when we feel like you've forgotten us, that we would be reminded that you are not forgetting us, that you are with us every step of the way. God, when we have those things in our life that are just not going well, where we have every reason to fear and despair, that we would trust in your plan, trust in your will, and know that you are in control and that we can put our faith in you. And God, I pray that we would take some time every day, step out of the traffic of life, and just focus on you. Recognize the things that you're doing in our life every single day that sometimes so easily passes by. God, we love you. We trust you. Thank you for this church. God, I pray that this week we would put into practice what we've heard today. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.